The Air Force's Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance Division supplies information through a mix of aircraft, satellite, computer technology, and human analysis, so the Air Force stays at the top of its game. Members of the ISR, now the 25th Air Force, are at the Air Force Association's Air and Space Conference to tell the rest of the service more about themselves. Three of them join my colleague Emily Kopp now live at the conference. Emily?
Thank you, Francis. Yes, I am with Major Christina Sheets. She's an Air Force Foreign Policy Fellow, also Technical Sergeant John Sims, an Imagery Analyst, and Staff Sergeant Anthony Adams, a Special Equipment Operator. So they are here at this conference just to tell people a little bit about what the ISR does. So we're going to give you guys a preview, those of you who are listening. So first of all, I just want to know a little bit about what each of you do. And Christina, if you would start, what do you do as a foreign policy analyst?
Absolutely. Right now, I'm working 3 days a week doing an internship with the State Department with the Bureau of European and Eurasian Affairs. So I am learning how to be a military advisor to the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs. But previous to that, I had some operational experience working in DCGS, actually doing ISR work. And the DCGS is the ground node where data that is being collected by the U2 and the RQ4 and the MQ1 and 9 goes to this ground processing center. And the analysts, much like the ones that you're talking to today, actually get a look at that, and they produce intelligence value out of that data.
And tell us a little bit about your background. I understand that you have some language skills, right, that you bring to bear to this.
I do have some language skills, yes, that I picked up just from my mom, who lived in France for many years, so she did teach us to speak French. But other than that, I don't get an opportunity to use it on the job regularly. We do have a lot of linguists in the Air Force that are part of the ISR enterprise, and we do have some downstairs in the exposition hall, but I don't personally hold that skill.
Well, let's move on to you, Anthony. You are a special equipment operator.
Yes.
What's the special equipment?
The special equipment is the advanced atmospheric research equipment in the back of the WC-135. What we're doing is we do nuclear treaty monitoring for the Air Force, the Air Force Technical Application Center. So,
what does that mean?
What we do is we fly through nuclear clouds and collect gas, basically. So.
Okay, so you're testing to see if the chemicals are a certain level. What are you looking for when you're flying through?
Well, I've got a radiation detector on board, a directional gamma radiation sensor, and I can look and I can see radiation in different directions and stuff like that, and I'll vector the aircraft, which is pretty interesting because we'll have like an airman, for instance, giving a lieutenant colonel directions as far as where he's going to go and how he's going to fly his jet. So that's an interesting aspect for us. And we'll fly through a cloud, and we have sensors on the outside which detect, oh, we've touched something radioactive. And then that point, we'll fly through it, and we can measure how big it is and stuff like that as we go through it and get the dimensions. So
very cool. And John, let's bring you in. You're an imagery analyst.
Yes, ma'am.
What sort of images are they?
Anywhere from the RPAs, so the FMV feeds, to satellite imagery.
Okay. So. And what are some of the special skills that you bring to bear when you're an analyst of this sort of thing? What do you look for?
It's just a lot of it is actually looking at previous imagery and seeing what was in that area prior, and then looking at new imagery and seeing what's changed. So what's new in the area, what's left the area, and kind of gives us an idea of what the adversary is actually doing. Are they moving troops in? Are they moving troops out? Things of that nature.
Can you tell us what some of these images are?
There's a wide variety. I mean, I've spent working the DGS. I spent, several hours watching FMV feed, watching the guys on the ground doing, convoy route sweeps, things of that nature, or strikes for actually targets that we're looking at, so.
All right, very good. So you guys are here again to tell everybody at the Air Force Association event about what you do, and you've prepared a top five list for us, for our listeners. Let's start with number five. What is the fifth most important thing that we should know about the ISR?
Yeah, I have number five. So the big thing we want to talk about are ISR airmen today, and that is really comprised of our active duty force, our reserve force, our guard force, and our civilians. And they're at the heart of the ISR enterprise. So we have a lot of platforms and we have a lot of sensors that are collecting the data. And then we have systems that are on the ground that are converting that data into information. But without the analyst, so that man in the loop who's taking that data or information and turning it into actual intelligence for decision makers, then we're not going to get the decision advantage on the battlefield that we're seeking.
So, of course, you guys represent three very different parts of the ISR, but what are some of the skills or abilities that you would say people have in common?
definitely critical thinking. I mean, that is an absolute mandatory thing that an analyst has to have. And they have to be able to take a lot of different sources and a lot of different types of data and be able to fuse that together and make sense of it. So a problem solver. So those are really the two things that when we're training our analysts and when we're seeking new and motivated analysts, we're looking for people that have problem solving and critical thinking skills.
Very good. All right. Number four, guys, who has that?
All right. So number four, I wanted to talk about how the ISR community has been in a constant surge since 1990. Before Saturn stood down in the last 25 years, and this has taken a toll on our architecture, our communications, and our, most importantly, our airmen. The Air Force has implemented several cultural improvement processes and made sure our airmen can stay resilient and stand up. So that's really been a big factor for us, and it's really impacted us over the time period. A lot of other time, we've grown rapidly. You look at the technologies and the missions site over the last 25 years, it's amazing what we've changed and what we've done. And we really haven't, well, we kind of have grown into those shoes. So I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, the constant operations tempo really does take its toll on the morale of the airmen that are doing the mission every single day. A lot of times they're at their home base and they go into work every morning and it's like they're crossing into the area of responsibility. So it's like they're crossing into Afghanistan or into Iraq. And when they're finally in their building, the footage that they're looking at is actual real-time footage of what's happening on the battlefield. And they see some things that can be really troubling. So Sergeant Sims had some examples when he was working in the DGS of how we have organized the ops floor to really provide those support processes for the airmen.
Yeah, so we've actually started doing things like they'll have chaplains sitting on the floor so that, you know, if they need to talk to someone about what they've seen, or even morale dog so that, you know, it's just the same type thing as the guys with PTSD, you know, they have the dog out there, so, you know, you can just hang out, pet the dog, you know, chill out for a little while. Plus, the other thing, I'm actually an instructor now down in San Angelo, Texas, at Goodfellow. So we actually started building a resiliency into the course down there. So we're trying to get these guys a short, you know, small blocks, stepping stones to actually start seeing some of these things while they're in training so that when they get to their first base, they're not, you know, just blasted with this. You know, the first day they're working missions, they see stuff that they're not expecting to see.
Yeah, so a recognition that you might go to an office for a job, but you are, in fact, in your mind, going to into battle.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, well, let's move on to number three.
Well, that actually ties really well into number three. Number three is about our operations schedule, which in the past year, been more than 18,000 ACC airmen deployed to more than 100 different countries to support our national security objectives. On top of that, they've continuously deployed for more than two decades. Also, since 9/11, we've flown more than 900,000 sorties. That's an astronomical number. Global integrated ISR has fundamentally changed how airmen fight wars, and many times we're able to do that from home-based locations, like Sergeant Sims is talking about. And the whole thing is incredibly taxing, like we were talking about. Like, I deploy, my shop is deployed on average over 100 days a year per person. We've got 20 people, and about half those people don't deploy. So when you look at that average number, the people that do deploy, it's rough. We're out, we're gone a lot, and then when we're back, you know, we've got a couple of weeks with our family, and then we're out again. So it's been really difficult. But luckily, the Air Force has understood that and put in some changes. They've got a bunch of systems for us. I get reintegration briefings when I come back and all kinds of programs to help and work with things like that. So,
absolutely. If I may add, the big thing there is ISR is operations. It's not just support to operations. We're not just on the sidelines. And I think that one of the huge advantages to having folks deployed at home doing the mission is that we're able to project power for America forward without projecting vulnerability. So we're not putting those people into harm's way. Oftentimes we just have to forward deploy the sensors and then we can keep everybody else back at home. But of course there are also some challenges associated with that.
All right, so we're going to go through the lightning round and just the minute or so that we have left. Number two.
Number two is ISR is domain neutral, so we use multiple platforms to gain the intelligence that we need. And it's not so much looking at what platform people need, it's more of the capabilities they're looking for so we can reach the effects that we're actually looking for on the ground.
Very good. And number one?
Number one is that ISR is indivisible. So the intelligence, the surveillance, the reconnaissance, you need all three of those components working together. So in 2014, RPAs flew over 445,000 hours of FMV surveillance and reconnaissance. But to complete that effort, the analysts had to be exploiting and analyzing that information to actually get the intelligence value that's important to the airmen, to the Marines, to the Army, and to all of our decision makers. So it truly is a team effort.